Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
I know Pastor Benjamin mentioned it while he was leading us in prayers, but that's my verse. That's my verse for the day. And I will never take the word of God for granted. I'd like all of us to declare it like a declaration of faith. We're going to declare it together. So all the way to verse 5. Please, so don't delay us, whoever is in charge. Just let it flow, okay? Psalm 103, verse 1. 1, 2, go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and with tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Somebody shout amen. How many of you are aware that you don't look like the things you've been through this year? When people are trying to praise you and admire you, and you are looking at all the things you've been through, and you are saying, hey, you are talking like this because you know the waiting day. You know the waiting day in my head. You know, you are surprised that they are praising you. You know why you are surprised? You are not aware that in spite of what you're going through, your youth has been renewed like the eagle. Is anybody hearing me? Your youth has been renewed like the eagle. I pray for somebody. May testimonies never cease from your mouth. Thanksgiving never cease from your house. Blessings never stop flowing in your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Shout a living amen. Please sit down like the king that you are. You know, David said in that psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. And he said, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Then the first thing he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I said last Sunday, human memory is very short. Very, very short. That's why Jesus cleansed 10 lepers. Guys who have given up hope on ever being a part of society. They've been ostracized. They are totally out of the way. Have no contact with their families. And the Bible said to us, Jesus cleansed all of them. Only one returned back to give thanks. The other 9 forgot. See, as they noticed that they have been healed, all that was going on in their mind is, what I'm going to do. The house I'm going to build. The car I'm going to buy. They're thinking about all the many, many things, and they are totally forgotten that there was something called returning. Somebody say returning. I can't hear you say returning. So Jesus asked a question. He said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? And where are the 9? He says, they are not found that returned to give glory to God except this stranger. Now, these other 9 guys that were cleansed, they are not strangers. They are regular Jews. They are familiar with God. They are first cousins of Jesus. Anybody hear me? They know about church. So what am I going to give thanks to God? This other guy that was a Samaritan, who is a stranger, said, no, I'm not too familiar with this thing, but I will not take the mercies of God for granted. He returned back. Is there anybody who returned this morning? Do I have any returnees in the house this morning? Okay, are you among those who forgot His benefits? He said, where are the others? Only you returned. Only you returned. I pray this morning we will never forget His benefits in the name of Jesus. Shout a living amen, somebody. I know I don't have much time this morning. I'm just, whatever time I have, I will do and get out of your face. My heart is so, well, I don't want to use the word heavy, but in a sense it's heavy. But heavy with gratitude. Heavy with joy. I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, why did I deserve the things You've done for me? Okay, I'm just going to begin by just sharing with you 4 things that Thanksgiving reveals about a person. The things that Thanksgiving reveals about you. The first thing is that Thanksgiving, if my slides are with you, please put them for me if they are with you. I hope they are. The first thing Thanksgiving reveals, are you still with me? It reveals how you define your source. Thanksgiving reveals how you define your source. Somebody say, Thanksgiving reveals who is my source. Ladies and gentlemen, a self-made man has nobody to thank. It was his intelligence, it was his hard work, it was his connection, it was everything he is that brought him where he is. But you know what? The man who knows that there's nothing about me except him. There's nothing I have he didn't give to me. That man is the one that returns back. He knows its source is God. There is nothing to boast about apart from whatever God has done for him. That is the man that returns back to the earth. You know, every time it's my birthday, there's one thing I never forget. I never forget that the person who people are celebrating today was once upon a fetus in my mother's womb, that my mother did everything. Sorry, this microphone, I don't know what it is about it, but can you bring down the pitch? It's disturbing, it's hurting my ear, and the pitch is too high. Just kind of bring it down a bit, you know, so I don't hurt my ears. I never forget that this gentleman was once upon a time an unwanted pregnancy in my mother's womb, with every attempt to destroy the pregnancy, took all kinds of things and so on. And even when I was eventually born, you know, my mother breastfed me for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, I mean, a child you never wanted, a child you never bargained for, a child that was a disturbance to your destiny. I mean, you have no remorse dropping that child and walking away. And she left me in the hands of my stepmom. God bless her soul. And my stepmom was the one that nurtured me from, not 3 months, 3 weeks. She nurtured me until where I am today. What am I trying to say to you? I would be so stupid and foolish to think that I am somebody, except that God said, I don't want you to die. I want you to be alive. My mother took everything all the other girls of the day took, and they all terminated their pregnancy, but our own pregnancy refused to go. Ladies and gentlemen, everything you are and everything we are today is a function of his mercies. I am a product of God. Everything I have today, God was the one that gave it to me. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen. That's why David was speaking in 1 Chronicles 29, when they were dedicating the temple. Are you there? 1 Chronicles 29. He said, the people rejoice for that they offered willingly. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. If you can put it for me just quickly. All right. So then the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to God. And David the king also, with the next verse, please. Next verse, quickly. So wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, blessed be thou, O God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Next verse, quickly. He says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. He says, all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Next verse, very quickly. That's where I'm going to. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might. And in your hand, is it to make great or to give strength? So if you are great today, he's the one that made it. If you have strength today, he gave the strength to you. Can I hear amen? Next verse. And he says, now therefore, O God, we are thanking you. We have come to do thanksgiving and praise your glorious name. Why? Next verse. He says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? He said, to offer to you is a privilege. To give you thanks is an honor. Willingly after this sort, for all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. So even what we say we came to do thanksgiving with, it came from you. It is from what you gave us. We now took a little and said, okay, we are coming back to church to do thanksgiving. Everything is a privilege. To give God thanks is a privilege. It's a privilege. There are people who want to give God thanks. They can't. They don't have the ability to. But God has blessed you, and here you are in church this morning. And it's my prayer that today will be one day you'll never forget all your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. I can hear your amen, somebody. Amen. Shout a better amen. Come on. Amen. The second thing you want to know, ladies and gentlemen, the second thing that about thanksgiving that it reveals about a person is the fact that thanksgiving reveals your discernment of spiritual battles. Thanksgiving reveals how you understand spiritual battles. Your thanksgiving, it reveals whether you truly understand what life is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure all of us here know that there are too many, many battles God fought for. You see, sometimes when we come and give thanksgiving, we're talking about things we know. But there's so much more you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, that God has done for you, you're not even aware of. Do I have any witness in the house? Please talk to me. Do I have any witness in the house? See, you know, I have a next door neighbor where we live, you know, outside the country. They have 4 children. Out of the 4 children, 2 of them are autistic. I know a professor of law, one of the most intelligent professors I've ever in the world. He's a Nigerian guy, but based in the US. Extremely intelligent. The kind of man you meet and you just fall in love with him because he's too intelligent. But guess what? All his 4 children, all 4 of them, autistic. How do you begin to explain? There's a gentleman who is our realtor. When I say realtor, now anything that has to do with property is the one that helps us. Say you're a Nigerian guy, Yoruba boy. He has an only son. There was a day we had business with him. My wife and I went to meet him up somewhere. And we noticed his head was banded. And we said, what's going on? And he said, Pastor, he said, this is not the first time. This is not the second time. This is not the 4th time. He said, my only son is autistic. He said, I've called police for him several times because he's violent in his own autism. He said, he has broken my head too many times, I can't remember. He said, just yesterday again, he took something heavy and smashed it on my head. He said, I bled until I almost passed out. It's his only son, it's his only child, and he's autistic. I have 6. Not only are they not autistic, all of them, and when I say all of them, make straight A's in school. I will now sit down here and tell you, yeah, man, God will slap my face to turn backward. You know, there's a slap you receive, the face will turn to the other side, backward. God will slap my face and turn it backward if I do beat my chest and say, yeah, man. Because I'm watching people who are more intelligent, who are more gifted, who prayed more than me. I don't even know where to start from. Children autistic. They didn't contribute anything. They did not do anything wrong. They carried the pregnancy. They saw the best gynecologist. And then they finally gave birth to children who are autistic. Let's not enter sickle cell anemia. Let's not enter that one. That you have a man whose only child is sickler. And every day can be an emergency. I was talking to one of my cousins whose first child is autistic. And she said to me, she said, thank God, because she had moved to another state and then relocated back to Georgia. And then she said, I did not know that my daughter has already written a suicide note and said that she would take her life quietly, because the daughter spends, out of the 30 days of the month, she spends like 25 in the hospital on admission. They are doing blood transfusion for her. Blood transfusion. So she looks at her life. Christmas, she's in the hospital. New Year, she's in the hospital. Thanksgiving, she's in the hospital. What am I living for? If that girl opens her mouth and sing, the whole of City of David will stand and look like this and say, what is this? Her voice. Anytime I visit my cousin, I just tell her, come and sing for me. And guess what? Now, they wanted to do bone marrow transplant, but now she has to do hip replacement. First of all, hip replacement surgery, but complicated. Intelligent. She entered university, she couldn't continue, she had to drop. Why? Because of sickle cell anemia. What am I trying to say to you? Your own problem in 2025 was that you didn't change your car. All your 5 children bubbling, jumping up and down, scattering the whole place. Some people's prayer is let them even have one that can scatter the place. Come on, am I talking to somebody today? Many of you don't understand spiritual battles. You have no idea what God has done for you. That's why sometimes you come to church with this sense of entitlement, thinking that, you know, you deserve whatever God gave to you as a matter of right. Is anybody hearing me, somebody? I can't hear you. Is anybody hearing me, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea how many battles you have escaped, how many things he delivered you from. That's why David will say that we have our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. As I sat down here worshiping, while City of David was worshiping this morning, I remember an incident I've never told anybody before. While we're worshiping, that picture just flashed back. Many years ago in secondary school, you know those days in secondary school, you prefer to go and shit in the bush instead of in the toilet. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. Look at me like your own case is different. And on this wonderful day, I was doing my business inside the bush and breeze was blowing and I was singing song. And the breeze was blowing so well that I was just having a good time. And ladies and gentlemen, I heard the rustling of leaves in front of me. So I said, it's the breeze that is also blowing the leaf. But another voice said, look up. Sir, by the time I raise my head from my business and look up like this, that's the biggest snake I've seen in my life, physically. The thing had risen up, opened his mouth, and was about to strike me. Watch action movie. Oh. I'm sorry, it was an action movie. But ladies and gentlemen, you know when there is danger, you can't explain how you escape, how you jump, how you somersaulted, how you move. Only God can explain the details. You know what I'm talking about. All you know is that you are gone. The memory of that snake has not left. I'm talking of secondary school. That memory has not left me. That the thing has stood up. His mouth was open. He was just waiting for the next thing. Bam! On me. And somehow God saved my life. Somehow he saved my life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are too many battles God has fought for you. You absolutely have no idea about. My prayer is that on a day like this, you will return to giving thanks in the name of Jesus. Come on, say a better amen, somebody.
Amen.
Thanksgiving also reveals whether you deserve more or you deserve less from God. Is anybody hearing me? It reveals whether you deserve more or you deserve less from God. Because thanksgiving is always an application for more. For more. As you are thanking him, he is doing more for you. As you are thanking him, he is doing more for you. The other thing thanksgiving means is thanks, or what it reveals about you, that thanksgiving reveals what really matters to you. It reveals what really does matter to you. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand this. There are people who are in church today who are saying, Pastor, thanksgiving. Where was God when I prayed the whole year? Make I get married. I not feel married. I make God give me at least 10 million for the first time in my life. I didn't get it and so on. But ladies and gentlemen, which one will you prefer? There's your colleague who got 100 million. But as we speak right now, he's in the mortuary on top of his 100 million. Which one do you prefer? So should God, let's reverse the table. You collect 100 million. And then after 1 week, we put you in the mortuary. Would that be okay? Please talk to me. Would that be okay? Am I saying money is not important? No, money is not. I'm not saying money is not important. But I'm saying there are things money cannot buy that God gave you that you should be grateful for. Come on, is anybody hearing me? Talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? There are too many things that are important that money cannot buy. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, let me be honest with you. It was in the course of, last two years, was when after about 31 years of, finishing law school many years ago, we didn't have a telephone, no internet, no email, no mobile, no phone, no only Nitel. So after 31 years, somehow, my classmates in law school, we started, getting ourselves to form a WhatsApp group and so on. And the moment we formed the WhatsApp group, I just noticed that, where is Sister so-and-so? She's there, but she said she doesn't want to join. I thought everybody would be as excited as I am. Where is Brother so-and-so? He's there. We've been trying to beg him. He said he's not interested. So all these people that said they were not interested, one by one, I got their numbers and I started calling them. And the first one I called said, Pastor, what will I say when I join you people? It's 31 years. You're married. You have children. You have a ministry. You have a dad. He said, Pastor, I've been married for how many years? 25 years. No child. No business, no money, I'm still struggling. When I join the group, what will I say? What will I say to you people? I'm talking about people that made first class, some 2-1. Some of the most intelligent and the brightest who are looking at you and say, Pastor, even the phone I'm using to talk to you is bad. I can't change it. can't change it. One of the brightest of them, young, beautiful, and that one is a sister in our fellowship. You know, oh God, just talking about this in one will make me cry. Because when the fellowship at that time in the law school, she was one of the most spiritual, very deep, very profound, and so on. But by the time we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, every effort to make her join failed completely. She refused to join. I was to find out later, she had retired as a magistrate, senior magistrate, no husband, no child, no nothing. People were contributing money to give her food to eat. On top of that, she now fell sick and eventually died. It was us that also contributed money to send to the sister for a burial. I'm here. At least I have a family. I have children. I have a ministry. I will now come to Thanksgiving and say, yeah, man. Sir, I will not forget a young boy and his sister when we were in primary school. We used to call them Ejima. I don't even know their name when we were in primary school. We see the sister, it's Ejima, the boy, Ejima, because they are twins. That's what we call them in primary school. I never even got to know their names. One day, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this story. One day, I remember I went to Warri to see my family. I was about to leave. I was using a vehicle, wasn't flying. Got to the park. I was about to enter the vehicle. I saw somebody. This would have begged money in the park. This boy we call Ejima was one of the brightest boys in my class. This would have exam, straight A's. So I haven't seen him in many, many years. But when I saw that, I said, I know this face. He was begging money from car to car. He now got to my vehicle. The bus I had entered. I called him. I said, are you Ejima? He looked at me. I said, how do you know? I said, have you forgotten? Virginia Primary School Warri. Class so and so. The boy screamed. He came and hugged me. I said, what's going on? He had no words. Because I've already seen him begging, so there was nothing to say. Sir, I put my hand in my pocket. I emptied my pocket. I said, can I have your number? He said, I don't have a phone. So there was no phone to contact him. I gave him all the money I had, and that is how he left. I wept in that bus. Just remember. I said, how is your sister? Say she's married. She's in Benin. She's doing well. Whatever happened to him, I was to find out later, he went into drugs, went into substance abuse, and just messed up his entire life, couldn't continue school. And that's how I ended up begging in the park. Listen to this, sir. Your Thanksgiving will reveal what really matters to you. What really matters to you? You're talking about car. How about your health? Some of you, January to December, you never visited or slept in a hospital. You never look at all your children bubbling. There is somebody whose child is on life support. Life support. Sir, what really matters to you? Look at the peace of God you have. Look at your salvation. See the guy who came to give testimony. That one nice, normal, everyday incident in Nigeria. What if that guy was kidnapped? Nobody would be discussing him right now. Because now they still collect the ransom and kill. Some of you follow Rufai of Arise TV on Instagram or whatever, where he was sharing about a friend. You know about the guy who was sharing. It's a venerable, an Anglican venerable. Kidnapped. Wife and children. Husband, wife, and children kidnapped. And guess what? They still raised the ransom and paid. After collecting the ransom, they asked the family to come and collect his corpse that was decomposing. As we speak, the wife and children are still in the hands of kidnappers with no hope whether they will come back. You've been passing that same road throughout 2025. Fine, with your AC, everything is okay. Today is Thanksgiving. What am I thanking God for? When the one billion I expected did not come, the breakthrough did not come, but your life is together, your security is together, your safety is together. What really matters to you? What really matters to you? What really matters to you? I don't have time. They say I have 10 minutes to go. Very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to see how I can just, in a few minutes, just let you know about why we are thanking God this morning. It's just too much on my head. Too much on my head. Too much on my head. Just too much on my head. Ladies and gentlemen, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, very quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Are you together? Verse 4. Give me the MSG. Ecclesiastes 9:4. Give me the MSG. Give me the MSG. Ecclesiastes 9:4. Still anyone select Ecclesiastes 9:4. Is that it? MSG. Everybody look up here. Still, anyone selected out for life has hope. Okay? Are you there? Come on, are you there? The King James actually says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Okay, does he say that? It says it there. Okay. He said, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Are you alive today? Talk to me. Are you alive today? Come on. Are you alive today? No matter how bad your condition is, you are still better than those in the grave. That's all he's trying to say to you. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Give me the next verse. Very quickly for time's sake. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Say, for the living knows that they shall die. At least you know that one day you're going to die, but you still have time. But the dead don't know anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is already forgotten. Next verse. Next verse. It says, and also their love, their hatred, their envy. I don't go greet you, I go greet you. All of them are perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Please give me the next verse. Go your way. Now, so what do you do when you look at how that today you are alive in spite of all you've been through? You don't even look like what you've been through. What do you do on a day like this? Go your way. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. For God now accepted your works. Next verse. Give me the next verse, I beg you. Let your garments be always white. And let your head lack no ointment. Look good. Look good. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth, from whom thou lovest all the days of your life. Listen to this. Thanksgiving is a time to remind you, value those people closest to you. See that your wife, value her, sir. See those your children, appreciate them. Appreciate them. Yes, I know they are a bit stubborn and whatever, but guess what? There are people who are praying, let God even give them the one that is mad. Make you say, then get picking. Appreciate them. Value them. Give me my scripture back, I beg you. All the days of your vanity, which he has given unto you under the sun, all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in this life and your labor which you take under the sun. Next verse. Give me the next verse for time's sake. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there's no work, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave where you go. Hallelujah. Come on, I said hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take a look at 2025, for time's sake, I'm just going to rush through a lot of things. You know, this, I just want to speak briefly on, you know, we call this year a year of amazing grace. Is that true? Answer me, is that true? And as we go through the Thanksgiving this year, I just want to concentrate on what I've called, we are grateful for amazing grace. Amazing grace. Somebody say amazing grace. Shout aloud, say amazing grace. Say again, say amazing grace. Ladies and gentlemen, why am I particular about this? I'm particular about this because I realize everything that we are enjoying today, we're enjoying as a result, as a function of the grace of God. Not what we worked for, not what we earned by ourselves, but as a function of the grace of God. That's why we have to be grateful. Grace kept us. Grace preserved us. And grace delivered us. Are you still with me, somebody? Talk to him. Are you still with me, somebody? Excuse me. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day. Are you there? Exodus 13, 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day or the pillar of the fire by night. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I want you to look up here. I've come to realize that we have enjoyed so much mercy and protection. This is one year I pray we never relive in this country. This is the one year where finally the government admitted not only are they don't know what to do about the security of lives in the country, they have no clue and they even have no will to do it. So suddenly America said they are coming, and then the government suddenly wake up and then begin to show some might. And instead of going to engage the terrorists, they are paying ransom to the terrorists. So in the same Kwara state where they kidnap and they release, they've kidnapped again. I mean, if I'm going to be earning 100 million per person free of charge, you have given me business that, even Bill Gates not get that kind of business, am I correct? For one person, 100 million, 100 million, 100, and the federal government is willing to pay. And you know, I'll be very honest with you. Me. How do I put it now? If not my God forbid. But if not my picking, I'm the kidnapped. Federal government will spill. What am I trying to say? I'm not angry with them for paying to release the children. But I'm also angry with them because as government, with all the powers available to them, they should have enough ability to fight security, insecurity in the country. Please, is anybody hearing me? The highest vote for money in this country is for security. Where that money goes to, only God can explain. Only God can explain. And you hear soldiers in the battlefield complaining, we don't have weapons. We don't have what the terrorists have. We can't engage them because we don't have what they have. What am I trying to say, ladies and gentlemen? I'm saying that all over the place. You see, if you take a look back, you will see a lot of things God delivered you from. Which of us here have not, in driving before, slept off in our steering, but God saved you? Which of us? Which of us? I've told you, one day I went to do a training in Owerri. One, I think then, PHC Bank, or whatever they call that bank at that time. Is it PHC or? PHB Bank. Coming back from Owerri, I had a good drive. By the time I was getting to Enugu, close to Mega Filling Station, I did, because I had counseled people late into the night after my presentation. And then I didn't know, I slept off. And what woke me up, I was headed towards Tankers Park by NMPC Mega Filling Station. What woke me up was the boop, 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 boop of my car. I opened my eye. I wasn't far from the first tanker loaded with petrol. And then once I had that boop, boop, I opened my eyes. Look in front of me, tanker. That was when I swerved my... Listen, is it because... is it because I sabi drive? You know, when I get to heaven, one of the questions I will ask God is about one of my best friend ever, with whom we pastored, myself, himself, Pastor George Izuma, where three of us were the lead assistant pastors in my former church in Port Harcourt. And the gentleman had come to Enugu to preach for another man of God and was returning back. That guy, I've said it here before, the best way I can describe that guy is the better version of Joshua Selman. That's how anointed he is. You know Joshua Selman, do you? Now think of a better version of Joshua Selman. Handsome, medical doctor, worshipper, teacher of the word, deliverance minister, anointed with healing. There's nothing he doesn't have. You look at his life and say, God, it's not fair. You give me one. You gave this man everything. How can one man carry all the gifts? He was the one that when I came out of law school, I was off of youth service. I was sleeping with him in number 8, Bernard Cass Street, medical hostel in Uniport, in Port Harcourt. And Pastor George now said, no, you can't be staying inside hostel. You are a graduate. Come and squat with me in 5A Lord Emmanuel Drive. I moved to stay with Pastor George. He was the one I was squatting with before. Listen, in our church, there were girls, and I can't count how many of them, that if you open their Bible, you see, my name is Mrs. They put his name. Every girl, it was every girl's dream. It's not a laughing matter. It was every, if a particular girl started having a mental problem because of him. No, joking about her. She will come to his hostel. She knows where the key is hidden because she's also in Uniport. She collects the key, opens his wardrobe, opens his, you know, we used to have photo album those days. She opened the photo album, removed every girl's photograph, and put her own inside. No, she became a psychiatric case. I'm not joking. The things I'm telling you are real. Anointed. Returning back from Enugu, rushing to catch up with his Sunday service at Obi Igbo, Mercedes flat boot, a strange trailer from nowhere showed up in front of him. Matched the brake, the car somersaulted. Now the PA had told him 4 times, Daddy put on seatbelt. He said, no, seatbelt slows him down. Daddy put on seatbelt. Seatbelt slows me down. So the PA said, okay, what will we do now? Let's allow him. And when that accident happened, flung out of the car, smashed his head on the counter. There was no opportunity to pray for him. There was no opportunity to take him to hospital. He died. They pack his brain with nylon. Pack his brain. Is it okay, me who is talking? Have I not been stupid in driving before? Have I not been careless in driving before? So how come I'm not the one who died? Is it because I'm talking of somebody who is 1 billion times better than me? He prays more than me. He teaches more than me. He preaches more than me. He's a worshiper. He's a medical doctor. He's more handsome than me. Me and Pastor George, we didn't look like we were called compared to him. First anniversary of his church, 1 year anniversary, there were about 780 people. David Ibiome, Salvation Ministries, used to wait in his reception to see him. The one you know of. In fact, the week he died, a gentleman had visited me, another pastor, and said to me, because I was escorting him in Eleka Housing Estate, we saw his posters everywhere, and the guy said, Pahed, he calls me Pahed. He said, Pahed. Say, this is this guy's season. Because one out of every five church programs in Port Harcourt at that time had his face on it. One or two had his face on it. Anglican, Catholic, or Pentecostal. Everybody wanted him. Like I said, he was the better, what you want to call the better version of Joshua Selman. That's who he was. And I said, when he died, I said, God, explain to me. Is it that you don't? How will you waste such anointing? How will you waste such grace? How do you waste such a gift? The Bible says his wisdom is unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. When we get to heaven, we'll understand. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at myself with all these stupid and the dumb things I have done. And I'm still standing here. I'm still preaching. I'm still ministering. And he has not slaughtered me. And then I will now beat my chest and say, yeah, man, you know where I am. This morning, I just came to say that amazing grace has kept us. This grace has preserved us. And we have come this morning to say, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. And as I do this, I just say this as I close. You know, every time, second service, I have a very serious personal family thanksgiving I want to do. And I'm going to be sharing the testimony on behalf of my family. But listen to this. If you read your Bible, and I don't have time, if you read your Bible about this woman that the Bible said, Jesus was in the house of Lazarus in Bethany, that guy that died, that he raised from the dead. And they were having a kind of Thanksgiving program because Lazarus came back from the dead. It was a huge Thanksgiving program. While that, the Bible says, was in Bethany in the house of Lazarus. Lazarus, his sister, Mary and Martha, they were all there. And this woman, how she found her way through Bartholomew, head usher, the Bible has not told us. Because according to the Bible, everybody knows her to be a bad woman. Because when she started anointing Jesus with the ointment, everybody said, ah, this cannot be a man of God. He doesn't know who they touch him. All of us know her. We know her now. Regular girl around here. You know, everybody knows her as a bad girl. For some reason, she broke through that crowd. She said, you see this Thanksgiving going on for Lazarus? Me too. I get my own Thanksgiving. I must enter inside it. Ladies and gentlemen, this young lady broke through Bartholomew and his protocol. Say Bartholomew. Heavily guarding Jesus, nobody should come near. How she found a way to pass through them, I don't know. But she knows how to manage men. She's into men. Anyway, cut a long story short. Are you still with me, somebody? The Bible says she got there, and before Bartholomew could catch her, she has broken an alabaster box of one of the most costly perfume, and she began to anoint Jesus. Now, Bartholomew said, okay, even if I couldn't stop her, I know Jesus will stop her. Because with his anointing, he should know this is a bad woman. Now, what Bartholomew did not know was that the Bible said, out of this woman, Jesus had cast out seven devils. The word seven may not just be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's always a number of completion. So, in other words, there's no kind, mention the kind of bad habit, bad experience this woman has it. Suicide, she has it. Immorality, she has it. Alcohol, drugs. There's no evil she wasn't going through. And then there was this crusade. Jesus was preaching. She got healed. Nobody knew she was delivered. She knew. Now she heard that Lazarus is doing thanksgiving over his resurrection. She said, God forbid I will not come here. But let me show you the only part of that scripture I wanted you to know. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Just two verses, verse 9. Give me verse 9. Are you there? Please give me verse 9. Okay, no. Before verse 9. Before verse 9. Go to verse 4. So when she broke that alabaster and anointed Jesus, Everybody look at what happened. Verse 4. Are you there in verse 4? And there were some that had indignation. Indignation is a senior brother of anger within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of this perfume made? Next verse. Now, everybody then knew the cost of that perfume, because in one other version, it says the cost of that perfume is 1 year's salary. Everybody say 1 year's salary. They call it, is the minimum wage in then in Israel. It was minimum wage, 1 year of minimum wage. The value of that perfume, everybody know it. So they were angry. And they said they would have sold this thing, it would have helped the ministry, blah, 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 and so on. And they murmured against her. Next verse. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you me? What she did was, she did a good work on me. Next verse. For you have the poor with you always, and wheresoever you will, blah, 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 blah. Go to the next verse. Next verse. She had done what she could. Okay? Everybody say she had done what she could. Real thanksgiving is doing what you can. Come on, are you with me? Please talk to me now. Real thanksgiving, they say, this is my ability. I'm not going to reduce myself to the level of that student. No, I can do this. Of course, I'm not going to steal money to do thanksgiving, but I know this is my own ability. I can do my 10,000, my 100,000. I can do my 1 million. She had done what she could. That's real thanksgiving. It is powered by the blessing of God and your ability to do. Next verse. Give me the Bible verse back. Oh, God. Can I have the Bible verse back, somebody? And then he says, whatever this woman has done shall be preached throughout the whole world. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, he said, what this woman has done will be a memorial for her. Number two, thanksgiving always leaves a memorial for you. Did you hear what I said? But give me the next verse. That's where I'm going to. Give me the next verse. And everybody read with me, 1, 2, go. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, stood up from there, went to the chief priest to do what? Let me tell you what happened. Judas is the accountant. Judas knows the value of that perfume. Judas, even though the Bible later told us so, that when he said they should have been given to the poor and so on, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. But that's not even my interest. My interest was that the value of this woman's thanksgiving was so heavy. Judas said, I've been seeing people sow seed in this ministry. You see this particular one? I'm not going to spare this man. He stood up from there straight to betray Jesus. Why? Because of the weight of the thanksgiving of this woman. Everybody was angry with her, but there's a song that Dunsin sang. He said, you don't know what the Lord has done for me. He said, excuse me if I look undignified. You don't know what God did for me. Now me know the demons when he removed from my head. Now me know death when I for die, if not for this man. You can be angry with me because I want to do thanksgiving. It's because you have no idea what he did for me. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning we're here to do no other business. To say, Lord, there's nothing we have we deserve but you. We came to give you thanks. Let's rise on our feet together. Let's rise on our feet together. Lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for all the mercies you have shown me, all the deliverances, where do I start from? I'm grateful for 2025. Tough year. With tough experiences. Things were tough. Prices of everything went up and so on. But look at me today. I can't explain how house rent was paid. I can't explain how the children's fee was paid. I'm sitting down here and I'm trying to find out, how did I survive this year? I lost my job. Business was not flowing. But look at me. I'm still smelling good. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not stuck somewhere. There's no death threat on my life. Lord, I just came this morning with my ability, with the best that I can, to say thank you. To say thank you. Lord, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands in thanksgiving. Remena kosube letene breketeya. Jembri katona brokos kebedina rozaba. Jes kebeleni raduna karianto grebidanazo. Bendo sufele ketele. Brende kosobo. Ashele mande yakata. Jembri katona brokos Jalabande Rebenako Rebedes Copalande, Imbroske Vande Sadadina Noria Telebe, Escobrete Villa Coramanazande Lecatina, Ebrosco Veletina Rabadeso Pelecate, Elabadella Mande Remanacosque Baliante. Lift up your two hands as we take this song together. Elubrecatene Coratanasia, Shiblecrete Veletania.
Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh Lord. For all you've done for us, we wanna thank you. Want to thank with one voice, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. Say we want to
going to ask you, put the account details on the screen, the project account, put it on the screen. I'm going to be praying very quickly. I know there are people here who want to say, Lord, I want to give you thanks with 100,000 and above, which is the category that I belong to. And that is not all I'm giving for this Sunday. But Lord, I want to thank you. You've done too much for me. When I say 100 and above, somebody's giving 1 million, somebody's giving 500, somebody's giving 200. Please, I'm begging you. Don't let any preacher be the one to determine what you give. The Bible says she did what she could. Some of you, your ability, your depth of gratitude is to give him 1 million. Don't let me be the one to bring you down. Give him that 1 million. Give him that 500. Give him the 200. Some of you already made up your mind. You know that what you came to do here. But I just want to pray a simple prayer. So those who want to join me and say, Lord, I'm giving you my 1 million, my 500, my 200, my 100. I want to pray for you this morning. And I'm going to be asking you to release it. Send it. Don't wait for any other thing. We're just going to send it straight to the account because it's not a pledge. It's Thanksgiving. If you don't have it now, you want to bring it next Sunday, that's okay. But if you have it, you came here for Thanksgiving today. I want to pray for every one of you. Just lift up your right hand. There'll be no time to call anybody out. Just lift up your right hand. And I'll start pray for you. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We will never, ever, we can't pay for the air that we breathe. We can't pay. Some of us have been to the hospital. We have seen people on oxygen. And then we just suddenly realize that this thing we are breathing free of charge every day for the last 55 years, we have never paid for it. This morning we have come on behalf of us to say thank you. What shall I say unto the Lord? Or please put those two hands on your chest. Put two of them on your chest. If you are doing a transfer with one hand, just put one hand on your chest. Leave the other one for your transfer. This morning we have just come to say thank you, our Father. Thank you. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Pastor, I'm doing 50 all the way to 100. I want to pray for you also. I'm going to make a general prayer after now. I'm doing 50 all to 100. Can you raise up your hand wherever you are? I'm doing 50 up to 100. Raise up your hand wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where are they? I'm doing 50 all the way to 100. Where are they? I pray for everyone whose hand is lifted up, my Father. I pray that the hand of God come upon you. And I pray that whatever is the sacrifice of your thanksgiving today will be the least you will ever be. That in the years to come, you will double that capacity, triple that capacity, quadruple that capacity, and your life will be a wonder to behold in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, I want to do my thanksgiving with 10,000 all the way to 40,000. Lift up your hand. 10,000 all the way to 40. Can you just wave it? Wave it. Just wave it and say, Lord, I'm thanking you. 10,000 all the way to 40. Wave your hands. Thank you. Thank. Wave it. Wave it boldly. I'm not here this morning. You came. You already prepared. I'm only leading you to do what you already prepared your mind to do. Wave that hand before the Lord. Father, I pray for everyone. Shadabande rebedene koso. Rina so de ventele manora yakatona sude. Elebretina ko rebeske ventele manora zavati. Elebredene koso tobedene arabada suka. Elambroske vetina labata. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of us, you just want to give your 1,000, 2,000, all the way to 10,000. Can you lift up your hand? Like I said, it's not a pledge. Release it immediately. Wave your hand. Anybody like that? This is my ability, Pastor. It's 1,000. It's my 5,000. It's my 2,000. It's my 3,000. Wave your hands. Hallelujah. Can you wave those hands? Now, I just want everybody to do me a favor. Everybody, do me a favor. Can you put your two hands on your chest? This morning, as we came to give God thanks, I declare that thanksgiving will never depart from your mouth in the name of Jesus. I declare over you that God will preserve and shield your family in the name of Jesus. I pray that every trace of pride, entitlement, and blindness to mercy, or forgetfulness of God's goodness over your life is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that as grace partnered with you, amazing grace spoke for you in 2025, it will overwhelm you in 2026 in the name of Jesus. Where others struggle, I declare you will soar. Where others are limited, you will be expanded. Where others fail, you will stand. Grace will speak for you. I can hear amen.
Amen.
Grace will defend you. Grace will open doors for you. Grace will announce you. I declare that every unseen battle meant to end your life, your mind, your destiny is permanently destroyed in the name of Jesus. The God who rescued you from traps, that same God who has saved me and my family, I declare that God will save you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that every snare set up, ambush, or evil orchestration against you and your family, they collapse in the name of Jesus. I speak over you, mercy will keep you. Angels will surround you. The blood of Jesus will shield you. I thought I would hear amen.
Amen.
I declare that because grace has partnered with you, your inadequacies, your weaknesses are swallowed. Your failures are swallowed by grace in the name of Jesus. What killed others will not kill you. What trapped others will not trap you. I declare that help will rise from above. Help will rise from above. Resources will multiply in your hands. Doors will open before you knock. Favor will overtake you. Goodness and mercy will overrun you. Grace will go before you. And grace will cover you by night and day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Shout a living amen. Shout a better amen. Is it okay if we just put our hands together and celebrate our God? Thank you.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.